Walt Sorg. He's the former host of this morning program, and for whatever reason, he's decided to get out of the media and get into the fire, into politics, and we thought it'd be interesting to talk with Walt. Walt, how are you this morning?
Morning, Tony. Like an old coach buddy of mine said, it's time to get out of the press box and onto the field.
Well, either that or you're going crazy at your young age. What made you decide to get into the field? You're a 45-year resident of Mid-Michigan, and you're running to succeed the term-limited state representative Joan Boyer in a pretty crowded field in this early, I guess, portion of the race.
Well, it was a lot of things. I'm really concerned about the direction that the current legislature and the governor are taking us right now. I think it's really counterproductive for Michigan's future to disinvest in things like education, higher education, K-12, and basically try to lead a race to the bottom when it comes to so many things. I think that's absolutely the wrong direction for building a strong economy in the future.
Is the state in better shape than it was when before Governor Snyder took office?
Well, I think a lot of the things that Governor Granholm tried to do during her 8 years are beginning to bear fruit now. We were the victim of a double whammy. First, we had the breakdown of the domestic auto industry, which is the critical part of Michigan's economy, over which the state had no control. Then you had the national, really international recession in the late part of the decade. And you put the two together, and Michigan was in very bad shape. But the governor was able to push through some things, such as our emphasis now on alternative energy, the battery industry, that has helped tremendously, plus the federal action, especially the action by President Obama to save General Motors and Chrysler, is paying huge dividends here in Michigan and is really beginning. We're leading the nation in job growth right now.
So you thought Jennifer Granholm did a good job?
She did many things well. She had a very difficult situation working with a Senate that was controlled by the opposition. Governor Snyder is very fortunate in that he has total control of the legislature in both the House and the Senate, and that makes a big difference. Governor Granholm, from the beginning, was fighting with the Republican Senate, and sometimes the Senate Majority Leader Mike Bishop got the better of her, and it was a different equation.
As you know, Mike Bishop, Jennifer Granholm, had a very shaky relationship, but I always wondered, as a leader, you're supposed to be able to create relationships, working relationships, even with the opposition. Did she fail?
Well, they failed. It's a two-way street when it comes to building relationships, but there's a tremendous hostility between the two of them that was never bridged. And to say that it was her responsibility or his responsibility, they both had an obligation to work together and did not do very well. And she also had a Speaker of the House in Andy Dillon, who was less than totally supportive as well on many of the issues. And there were no question about it. Her relationship with the legislature was not good, but that is something that you can really lay on both her and the legislative leaders.
Whose responsibility was the $2 billion deficit?
I don't know if you. I would again lay that on everybody, but she had very few options. The state, there was a policy decision made really a decade before she came into office. Before they came into office, they were going to continue to lower taxes. Our taxes now are about 25% lower in terms of the effective tax rate than they were 10 years ago, and people don't recognize that. But that's the major reason why we had the deficit. They made the cuts to keep the budget balanced, but as best they could, but the economy kept falling and falling and falling. But the biggest contributor, amazingly, wasn't the economy. It was the fact that we had some leftover Engler policies that cut the effective rate of taxes drastically. If we were at the same level as when John Engler was governor, we would have been running surpluses.
I wanted to ask you about a press release that you sent out over the weekend. I thought it was pretty interesting. Ingham County loses under the legislative redistricting map, which was released by the House Republicans, according to you. And what was interesting about it was, under the Republican map, the district that includes about 75% of the city of Lansing plus portion of Lansing Township, you believe that the Republicans in that district lose.
Well, yeah, the Republicans lose because they really don't have a chance to win. So many of the districts in the map that the House Republicans created are one-party districts where the outcome in the general election is preordained, and it would take almost a miracle for the other party to win. They say that 81 of the 110 House districts are safe for one party or the other. That means there's only 29 that are competitive between the two parties. And in Ingham County, both the 68th District and the 69th, which is East Lansing and Meridian Township, are overwhelmingly Democratic. Plus, what they did with this map is to be expected in a partisan situation. They jammed as many Democrats into as few districts as possible. So the districts that are represented by, that are probably going to be won by Democrats, are typically much larger than the districts that most likely will be won by Republicans. So it's kind of stretches out the Republican voting strength over multiple districts, and it results in a huge disparity. Just 2 years ago, Republican candidates for the state Senate under a Republican map got 53% of the vote, but because of the way the map was written, they got 68% of the victories. And that was by jamming a lot of Democrats into the smallest number of districts as possible and spreading out the Republican strength so they had an advantage in as many districts as possible.
Well, let's talk. Let's let you get on up on your stump. Tell us why we should elect Walt Sorg.
I think it's a combination, first, of experience. I'm the only candidate who's being mentioned. I'm actually the only candidate who's announced for the seat. Everybody else is either exploring or mum at this point. But it's experience. I've had executive positions in both the executive branch of government, working in the economic development side of state government. I've also had a 10-year staff leadership job in the House of Representatives. And I'm also the only candidate who's got extensive experience working in the private sector. So I think it's a broad range of experience. Plus, as you know, Tony, just from the kind of work that you do now and that I was doing before with talk radio, you learn a lot about a lot of things, and you meet some of the best experts in a lot of fields. And I can bring to this job relationships with experts in just about everything. I can get people on the phone who can provide instant expertise, and I think that's really important in a term-limited legislature, to be able to get the facts and to get in detail the facts as quickly as possible from people you can trust.
Well, even though you spent a little bit of our conversation somewhat defending Jennifer Granholm, there are a lot of folks who would disagree with you and say she's the principal reason that the state's in the mess that it's in now. I know that you disagree with that. There are a lot of folks who said that the Democrats and the power that they had put the state where it is now. How would you respond to that?
It's tough in just 15 seconds, but I would say the Republicans have had a major share of the control of state government throughout the last few decades. John Engler was governor with a Republican legislature throughout most of his 12 years, and he left the state in a total economic mess. We were in the middle of beginning a recession when John Engler left office. So there's some bipartisan failures there.
All right, Walt, where are you going to get? Are you starting your fundraising efforts?
Yeah, we've done a little bit, but we're really focusing on beginning this fall. 14 months for a campaign is ridiculously long. And that wasn't our decision to get the campaign started this early. But we are going to be raising most of our campaign funds beginning in September.
All right. We will stay in touch. We're going to try and touch base with all the candidates for that race. Thanks so much for your time.
Take care, Tony.